And again, we want to welcome each and every one of you who are here this morning, visitors, members alike. It's good to be with you again. I'll have more to say about this tonight at the evening service, but I would be remiss if I didn't express, as in every way that I possibly can, how deeply thankful I am for all of the support and involvement and encouragement that we received this past week during our vacation Bible school. It was an absolute delightful time. Now, in expressing some thanksgiving this for that on the part of those who were involved, this morning in the bulletin I named a number of people, and there's always a danger when you do that you're going to forget somebody, and I did, and I apologize. I may still be forgetting somebody, but I would like to deeply express my appreciation also to Brittany Ralston for her help this past week, and for Bob Weatherly for providing transportation for us this past week as well. Without the help of all these people, it just wouldn't have gone like it did, and it went surprisingly and wonderfully well. This morning at our fellowship time, we're going to be bidding a kind of farewell to Brother Jim and Peggy Eck. They have been members here for, I think the bulletin said back in 93 or something along that line, and they have rendered invaluable service to the cause of Christ, to this congregation, and have been a friend to many. And we're going to miss them dearly. I say kind of because they're just moving to Stillwater. They have family down there and are going to get closer to family. And so we hope and pray like we do some of the others that have moved to Stillwater or some other places, that they'll come see us on a infrequent basis at least. We'll get to be with them again. But anyway, we encourage all of you to come to the fellowship today and spend a little bit more time with Jim and Peggy Eck. That's the sad news, kind of sad, but at the same time, we're thankful. But the good news is this morning we have somebody who wants to be a part of the congregation here. And Wanda, I won't ask you to rise. I don't know if that's comfortable for you or not, but Sister Wanda Bell, many of you know Wanda. Yes, she's standing back there. Many of you know Wanda. You have worshiped with her at Grand Avenue and other places throughout the years. And she's been worshiping with us for Sunday night and Wednesday night now for the last several months at least. It's just getting harder and harder for her to get back and forth from Newkirk. And she would like to be identified with this congregation. And we would certainly like to be identified with you. So please welcome Sister Wanda Bell as you have an opportunity this morning. Out in the foyer on the bulletin board at the bottom of the stairs, there's a page there with some little tabs that look like this. You can tear one of those tabs off, and it has the name of our Brother Dennis and Donna Fulks and their children and their mailing address. And I want to encourage all of you to go by and get one of those, and in the next week or two, be sending them a card or a note of encouragement or whatever you can do to just let them know how excited we are that they're going to be coming here and joining us in the work, and let them know how you want to be a part of them and helping them in any way that you possibly can. I think they are going to be here on the second Sunday of July. So please be doing that. That's just about a month away. Anyway, this morning, about two-thirds of the way through the week last week, I could see I'm not going to get to do everything I need to get done this week. And so I hollered for help. I called Brother Ryan Rising, who is he's an attorney up in Augusta, Kansas, my hometown. But Ryan is actually from Winfield, Kansas. And he and his wife, Bobby, are here this morning. And Ryan has agreed to be our speaker this morning because she's going to have a baby about a month from now. So they don't get very far apart from each other. And they have a baby shower to be at this afternoon. So they couldn't come tonight. And so we agreed to switch around. So Ryan is going to be our speaker this morning. And let me just tell you just a little bit about what I know about. I've been associated with Ryan now for the last several years. Once a month there's a breakfast up in Winfield, Kansas. And we get together and we have breakfast and we have a Bible study and discussion of things. And Ryan gets to come from time to time. He's a practicing attorney. Both he and Bobby are both practicing attorneys, have a practice there in Augusta. It also says they are extreme KU Jayhawk fans. Well, there's several like that here, Ryan, so you're in good company. But at any rate, I've had the opportunity of hearing him speak and deal with issues that have been brought up in our preacher's discussions. And I tried to get him to come down here and try out for the preaching job. But he kind of likes that attorney's lifestyle, so he said, no, I won't do that. But anyway, we did kind of impose on him today to come and fill in for bring the lesson this morning. So, Ryan, if you would come, I don't know what the subject is. You can announce that or share that with us, but we're looking forward to this opportunity this morning to hear this fine young man bringing, and he preaches all over southwestern Kansas and south central Kansas, so He's not a novice at this thing, so we're glad to have Ryan as our speaker this morning. Brother Ryan.
Appreciate the opportunity to be up here. Usually when I think of Ponca City, I think of Dixie Dog. I grew up rodeoing and in the horse business. And so when we'd be coming home from ropings, we'd often stop off at the Dixie Dog. And probably in my misspent youth, I remember the Dixie Dog car hops more than the food. But met my wife, and she's well aware of, you know, the Dixie Dog stories. And often when I think of her, I mean, her name is Bobby, but I think of the song Amanda, or that Waylon Jennings song reminds me of her. Fate should have made her a gentleman's wife. And but I think I'm definitely married up. Had to ask about 5 times, but we got the job done. And that was 12 and a half years ago. Our parents gave up on us having kids, but our first one is due July the 8th. So keep that in your thoughts and prayers. We definitely appreciate that. as Don mentioned, we are both attorneys. We do take some cases on our own in Augusta. With the baby coming, I'm looking for work. So if you know of any good law jobs, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with litigation. I don't know if there are any litigators in here or just transactional attorneys. I think transactional work in some ways more, but I enjoy litigation in some ways more. But my wife, she has probably a better love of the law than I do. I went to law school, and every family ought to have a good lawyer in the family, so they sent my wife to law school. So, but as Don mentioned, he mentioned this opportunity to me. My brother actually tried to get me to try out for this position. Incidentally, my brother's not a Christian, so keep him in your prayers. But I do appreciate this opportunity. If you're taking notes this morning, you want to write across the top of your page, Family and Faith. Family and Faith, that's the title of this morning's sermon. We have 2 points this morning. Our text this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. If you have a Bible, turn there. If you don't have a Bible, you need to ask yourself why not. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're familiar with this book. Many think that it was written at the end of Paul's life, maybe 67, 68 A.D., addressed to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Beginning in verse 12, yea, and all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn their ears away from the truth, shall be turned into fables. Verse 5, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 through chapter 4, verse 8. Point number 1, family. Family. This is not often a text that we go to talk about family, but I think there may be something there. Point one, family. In verse 12, we see, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Timothy, if you want to lead a Christian life, if you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, know this. Know that you shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Some versions have go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, you're going to face persecution. Some of these evil men out there, they're going to go from bad to worse. Maybe even the persecution you face is going to get worse. How do you withstand those evil men? How do you withstand that persecution? You continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What's Paul have in mind? I don't know exactly what he has in mind when he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Maybe he is thinking about some of the things he has taught Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. The form or pattern of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Maybe he has in mind 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Those things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Maybe he's thinking about Timothy's family. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul calls to mind the unfeigned faith. Some versions have sincere faith. The unfeigned faith that dwelt first in Timothy's grandmother Lois. The unfeigned faith that dwelt also in Timothy's mother, Eunice. The unfeigned faith that Paul was convinced dwelt in Timothy also, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It would not surprise me if Paul is encouraging Timothy to remember the faith of his family. Not just any faith. The unfeigned faith of God. The unfeigned faith of the Lord. that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. It seems to me that even as a child, Timothy knew the scriptures. Young children can know the scriptures. Young children can learn and remember and recite the scriptures. Seems to me that maybe somebody in Timothy's family had an interest in his spiritual welfare. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in Timothy's immediate and extended family were Christians. In fact, some go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 1 and say, well, it says there that Timothy's father is a Greek, and that may mean that his father wasn't a Christian. Some people have the blessing of growing up in a Christian household. Some people do not always have that blessing. But I think somebody was concerned about Timothy's spiritual welfare. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our grandchildren? What are we teaching our brothers and sisters? What are we teaching our parents? What are we teaching our families? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. The Scriptures have everything we need to know.
Amen.
What are we teaching our families? More than 2,700 years ago, God would look down on the northern kingdom of Israel in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1 and said, there's no knowledge of God in the land. 5 verses later in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, God would say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And yet clear back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, the people were to teach their children the Word of God. In chapter 4 and verse 9 of Deuteronomy, the people were to teach their sons and their sons' sons the things that they had seen. They were to teach their children, their grandchildren, to teach their families the Word of God. And yet there would come a day in the northern kingdom in which there was no knowledge of God in the land. I pray that the day never comes in this country in which there is no knowledge of God in the land.
Amen.
I pray that God does not look down on us and say that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What are we teaching our families? Point number one, family. Point number two, faith. So Paul begins chapter 4, or this last portion of his letter, with a charge. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. There's the charge. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But he reminds Timothy of the judgment. The judgment is coming. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he had done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. The judgment is coming. Timothy, a day of accounting is coming. I give you a charge, Timothy, to preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verses 3 and 4, bad For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. How many times have you seen somebody turn away from good advice? Maybe advice that you gave them. How many times have you seen somebody turn away from the truth? But despite this, Timothy, despite the fact that you're going to be preaching and people are going to be turning away from your preaching, despite the fact that you're going to be suffering persecution, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, despite the fact that evil men and seducers are going to get worse and worse, you need to watch thou in all things. You need to endure afflictions. You need to do the work of an evangelist. You need to make full proof of your ministry. Despite the fact that people are going to turn away from the Word of God, you need to keep preaching the Word of God. You need to keep doing the work of an evangelist. Because if you do, Timothy, then there's going to be a crown of righteousness for you at the end of your race, just as there is a crown of righteousness for me, Paul says. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Keep the faith. Are you keeping the faith? Are you running the race of righteousness? Timothy was a great witness for the faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Are you laying aside every weight? Are you laying aside the sin which does so easily beset us? Are you running with patience the race of faith that is set before us? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing toward the mark? My dear friends and brethren, Christianity compels us to share our faith with our family and friends. But even when they reject it, even when they turn their backs on the cross of Christ, we must continue to preach the Word. We must continue to do the work of an evangelist. We must continue to keep the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 12 through chapter 4 and verse 8. If you have a need, won't you come? Let's together we stand and sing.